Well, once again, it's nice to be home. I feel at home here for these many years that we've been able to share with you in the things of the Lord. I remember when Jim had graduated from Faith Seminary, and he came to work with us there at the Bible Conference in Cape May, Gateway to the Stars. And he came and he worked, was there a year. And at the end of that year, he came to me one day, and he said, "Dad, I think that the church over in Lakeland is going to give me a call to come over there. And what do you think about that?" I said, "Go, son, go, because that's God. What I believe God has for you. You came here, you served, and we had a wonderful time of ministry there. And he was able to add to the ministry, but then he was able to come here, and he's been here ever since. So time goes on, and I look at him. You know, he's getting old." He's getting real old. Anyway, we thank God for the years that he's given to us and that we can share with you in that ministry. At this time, I'd like to read a portion from the scripture before we have our message as such. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a chapter that has, again, a tremendous impact in what I'm going to be saying to you today. So I want to read it first. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And I will conclude the reading of the scripture at that point, thanking God for it. But let us look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, as we've come to the house of the Lord today, how good it is to sing together of the wonderful words and works of our God. And as we come to thee even now, we pray that thou wouldst teach us, Lord. Help us to be submissive to the eternal truths of thy word, and that we might know of thy grace in our lives. So speak through thy servant for thy grace, and may we rejoice always in the Lord. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I speak to you today, I go to Publix yesterday. I went to Publix. Anybody been to Publix? I think Publix owns this place around here. But be that as it may, I was in Publix, and as I walked in there, usually where they have all those things where you buy one and you get one free. So I was going to buy something, maybe one, and get one free. But there was nothing there except there were flowers, there were hearts and candy. And I mean, they filled it up so much, I couldn't hardly get into the store. And they were really celebrating something. Yes, it was called Valentine's Day, I guess. But, you know, I'm not a fan of St. Valentine. I know who he was, but I know who God is, and I know of a love that God has and that God has shared that love with us. And as I was thinking through that, you know, it's been almost 5 years since the Lord, again, took from my grasp my dearly beloved wife, Gerda. She's going on to be with the Lord. And, you know, as I was there and I thought, you know, I would buy her some flowers today. I would again give her a card. I would again give her a box of candy. Well, maybe not a box of candy, because she wouldn't necessarily want the candy. But whatever it could be, just to say, again, in the brightness and the beauty of the flowers and all, that I have a feeling in my heart that goes out with that to you. And so as the providence of God, things, again, do change. But let me tell you something, because our message this morning is that love is an act of the will. Put that down. Write it in your mind. That love is an act of the will. And I'll bring God's word to prove that to you. And it's important that we understand what love really is. And so as I was thinking of that very thought, I go back to my college days. Well, in my college days, I had to work pretty hard because I was, my mom and dad wouldn't support me of going into the ministry. And so I had to work and earn my way. And I did work and earn my way. And when I went at the end to go to the cashier to say, well, how is the count now? She said, well, we owe you money. So I left going off to seminary with about $100 and some, I guess it was. But nonetheless, as all this was transpiring, going through the school and working in the kitchen mainly, scrubbing floors, washing pots and pans, not cooking the food, but nonetheless, they're doing my work. And so I was very busy. I didn't have any girlfriends. I didn't have anything that was going on. And so it was in my junior year that I was there sitting in the dining room for a change. And not very often I was in the dining room, but this was on a Saturday, I believe it was. The new students had just come in, and I was sitting there, and I looked across the room about three or four tables, and I saw a young lady. I didn't know who she was, but she was a new student. And as I looked at her, I said, there she is. And I meant that there she is. And I, at that very point, placed my love on that girl. You say, well, you never saw her before. How could you ever do that? Revelation. Guidance, direction, whatever it took. And so I said to the girl next to me, I said, who's that girl over there? She said, that's my roommate. I said, I'm going to meet your roommate. And her roommate I did meet. And yes, I placed my love on that girl as the first time I ever saw her. Ask me why. I can't explain it. But I, again, as an act of my will, placed it on that individual and never took it away. Think of that. My dear Gerda. And when I came to know her and talked to her, whoa. What a girl. What a woman. And loved the Lord. I knew she was there because she loved the Lord. Most of the kids at Columbia Bible College, they loved the Lord. They were there. Many of them were missionary young people that had come back from the mission field going to college. And so I met my dear wife. And so it was a choice that we made. And we, in choosing, we have a volition, and that's what I would like to talk about today. You know, any time when we think in terms of love, and it's almost always placed in an ethereal setting, that, oh, well, I just, you know, come up and I have feelings and so forth, and it can't explain it. What you're doing, my friend, is you're placing, your will is placing your love on that individual. God is love, the Bible tells us. And this morning, if there's something, basically I want you to take with you, that is, God is love. And out of that love, there comes a triad out of God Almighty in relationship to mankind. First of all, he is, again, the God of love. He is love, the Scripture says. And out of that love, God has given us his mercy. He has had pity upon us, and by his grace he has sent his Son that we might imbibe even there upon his grace. God is love. He is merciful, and he is gracious. And we have his grace given to us because of that love. And it is because God so willed that that love should be placed upon a people that he would call unto himself in this creation which he has made, a creation which fell into sin, where men have gone into sin and they're in the darkness of that corruption until by His grace, because of His mercy and because of His love, men come unto Him. And then we love Him because once again He has been gracious, He has been merciful unto us by proffering unto us that love and that mercy that He has. Think of these words, love, grace, and mercy by the will of God. And it is by your will and my will that we love another. We're commanded in the scripture, isn't it, that we should love one another? We who are Christians and have been saved by the blood atonement, that we should love one another and that we should love our enemies, Jesus said. And did He not tell us again that we should love the brethren, that we should love God? And so love your neighbor, love God, love, love. It's because God has given His love through His mercy and His grace. And being gracious unto us, we have come to Christ. And in Christ we have new life. And we can have a life that has a love for God and a love for others. This is it. And most of all, we want to focus down this morning to the love that a man has for his wife, and that the love that she has for him, and how gracious and wonderful that is, a gift to give yourself to another, again, to will to love another. How can it be? It can be. And it's all of the will. How do I know it's all of the will? Because Jesus says, love one another. Jesus says we're to love. All right, if that's a command, then it means we must respond by what? We respond by our will. And so it is a choice. It is a will that we take and we place our love upon another individual. And that is an awesome thought in the scriptures that we have. And as I think in those terms, the great salvation that we have in Jesus, but beyond that great salvation, we have even more. What do we have? We have that where we become children of God, and that we have a love then for God as well as for others. I want to talk a little bit about marriage, because this is the aspect that happens then when a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man, that it is time again for marriage. Now, I know marriage is having a hard time in our day and time, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to know and remember this, that I will to love that girl. You will to love another. And if it's that woman that God has for you, it is your willingness to love them. And then that love is there. And that love grows in a great special way. And it's supposed to grow, not to deviate, not to break off, but to have it. And it is your will that will be in this regard. I had a woman in Knoxville, Tennessee, came to me one day. And she said, I'm going to divorce my husband. And I said, why are you going to divorce your husband? She said, because I don't love him anymore. I said, shame on you. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to love him. How do I know that you're supposed to love him? You say you don't love him, but I'm telling you, God says you are to use your will and to love that individual, because that's the key. Turn to loving by doing that and having your will placed upon that individual. And here she was fighting it because she didn't love him. Well, you better love him. You loved him one time? Oh, yeah, I loved him once. I don't love him now. I said, well, you just stopped willing to love him. And you need to get right with God, because that's the only way that it can be. And when I keep talking about this willing, I mean, it's an important thing. You know, when people stand here and Jim will take and marry them, and I've married many of my grandchildren. And it's a wonderful occasion and all. But, you know, when they get married, you have to be willing. That's the whole point. Will you take this man? Will you take this woman? Will you? It's talking about your will that you're going to do. You're going to do that which you placed by your will, your love on that individual. Now you're standing before everybody, and you're committing yourself to that one. And that one alone is to be yours. And so are you willing? Yes. Why am I? My will did it. You know, we just usually think of it as some ethereal nonsense that we sort of it just sort of oozes out and we get, loving the individual. Understand it's that will that is behind it. And so when you get ready to get married, you ask, will you forsake all others? Why? Because your will is supposed to be only on that individual, that spouse, that's the one that's supposed to be. Are you ready to, till death do us part? Are we ready for that? Do we want? Well, you need to be willing. You will to love this person. You will now to marry this individual. Then it's going to be until death. And it's going to have to be for richer or poorer. Richer or poorer. My wife didn't marry me for my money. You know, there are people that marry people for money. Most don't, but some do. But after they get married, money becomes a big problem in the marriage many times because somebody goes off spending like crazy or doesn't take care of the funds or monies, whatever it is, and it causes all kinds of problems in the life. And that's a terrible situation. But richer or poorer. I was getting ready to go off to seminary. I'm going to go to seminary for 4 years. And as I was getting ready to go, my wife was willing. She said, yes, I'll follow you. Wherever God wants us to go, I will go with you. I will go with you. You don't know how wonderful that is when you're stepping out by faith, looking to the Lord, ready to go forth in this life, to go forth together. But I wanted to go forth by the grace of God with that one that I had placed my love, my will upon her. So richer or poorer or in joy or sorrow, and you know the sorrows come, sickness and health and all of that aspect. But we see that in our own time, how marriage is being set aside, how it's being destroyed in the hearts and the minds of individuals. We have a great moral decline in our nation. Immorality, divorce. You know one thing I think of? You know, it used to be when I was a teenager, yeah, that was 60 plus years ago. When I was a teenager, you know, if something off color was said in front of girls especially, there'd be blush in their face. You know what's wrong today? There's no blush in the face of the young women of our land because they've been hardened again to evil words. Dirty thoughts and statements. All of that is coming forth in our society. And there's a latitudinarian attitude that's going on. Be and let be, and do and let do, and don't call anybody into account. Our institution of marriage, or the institution of God of marriage, is under attack in our time, in our society. We've had the feminists ever since the 60s, especially. And I can remember the women that came out, the National Organization of Women. They were ready to battle again against marriage. They wanted freedom. They wanted independence. There was a battle between the sexes as it was going on. And our society, the battle against marriage is strong. You see, even the welfare system of our nation supports, again, the attitudes that are set there as it relates to husbands and wives and their relationships to each other, where, again, we don't need a husband. You got the government that'll take care of you. Brethren, that's a shame. And a man and a woman who won't be willing to love each other and to, again, give themselves totally to that individual, again, does not deserve to be on this earth. Should not be here. But brethren, it goes on. The no-fault divorces that we have. People say, I just don't love him anymore. Don't love him anymore. Well, you get back and start loving. Get on your knees and ask God to, again, deal with your heart that you would, again, place your love there where it belongs. And it's your will that's the problem. Not the society, not the circumstances, not the situation, but you. Illegitimacy is abounding on every corner of our land. And then if it's not illegitimacy, it would be abortions on every hand. And children are being aborted. They don't love their children. They don't will to love their children because their children will be an inconvenience if nothing else. Or beyond that, it'll be a situation where I'll have the responsibilities and the duties. And I do not want that, they would say. And so a million or more every year are being destroyed. You know, that destroys marriage because marriage is supposed to procreate. It is supposed to, out of love between that husband and that wife, bring forth new life into this world, to love that little one. How many children, though, today are being cast aside? The mothers are off, the fathers are gone, whatever's happening. And here, marriage means nothing, so they don't get married. They just shack up and live together. So you've got these circumstances that's destroying the nation. That's what's happening, brethren. It is being destroyed, and it will rot from within. And when that happens, then we're going to see, again, days that we don't want to see. We don't want to see what we see already. You know, when I go back to God's creation and when he made, again, Adam and Eve, there were certain aspects there that had to do with marriage and with the relationship. First of all, you know, a husband and wife, there's a design that is there. In that design, there is male and female. You have, again, the two that make one, as the scripture goes on to say. It was instituted by God. It was designed by God that a husband and wife should be together, a man and woman. You know, today, another aspect is that we have a destruction of our land is this homosexual marriage. It then destroys the aspect of what it is, what marriage truly is. And here we have this situation where, again, in our society today, that which is a situation that should not be, that where individuals are getting together in immoral practices with the same sex, that is, again, abomination. And they should not place their will on the other person in the lust of the flesh of that. And so we see today marriage, again, is being attacked. You know, I was pleasantly surprised the other day that I heard about some judges that said, we're quitting. We're not going to be judges anymore. And why was that? Because they would not perform, which they would be required to do, they would not perform homosexual marriages. And in North Carolina, there were 6 of them. Well, God bless them. You know, the fact of it is, again, I think one of the judges made a statement, and I thought that he was quoting William Blackstone, that great jurist out of England, which, again, was the basis of many of the laws were written here in the States. As a nation began. And he made a statement about nature and nature's God. It went into the Declaration of Independence. But nature and nature's God. And he said that this which is going on, this perversion, our forefathers rejected because they themselves believed in true marriage. And nature and nature's God, again, requires that, again, it ought to be according to the Word of God. And so marriage is the vortex of love, and it wheels around and around, and God has made these things, and God has made and continues to, again, require us to go according to the Word of God. And so as I come to these thoughts here and how that the rib was taken out of Adam and the rib and a man, as the Jews said, a man is not complete until that rib which he took out of him is back under his arm. And that is the way that they walk together. And as I come to this relationship, I want to go back to the passage that I read first of all. So if you have your Bibles there, we will turn back and look at this particular passage. Well, you know, as I think about Adam, and when God brought Eve to him, he gave Adam a gift. What a gift. Is your spouse a gift from God? Did you choose a gift from God? Then recognize that gift and thank God. Now, as I turn to this particular passage, I got to some things out of this passage that really blessed me. And, you know, you go to the passage in Ephesians which talks about wives reverencing and loving their husbands, husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And I think of all that beauty that is there. Man, love your wife. Will to love that woman. Will it. Don't let anything keep that will, again, from focusing on that one. But as we go on in this particular passage, it talks about the woman and how she should, in apparel, she doesn't have to show off. She's got the inner beauty. She's got a meekness, a quietness. You know, with my dear wife, again, it was wonderful because she never wanted anything. She wouldn't hardly want to buy anything. Once in a while, when one of the grandkids gets married, she would buy a new dress. But that was it. You know, things weren't important to her. Her family was important to her. Her grandchildren were important to her. Her great-grandchildren were important to her. And most of all, I was important to her. She loved me as a king would be loved. She loved me as one, again, who looked to me in many ways and made me a man in every regard. Awesome. Awesome. Now this passage, I want us to share it as we close out. And we look at the husband then. It talks about the husband. It says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know, women are different than men, and that's what we're seeing here. Women have emotion more than motion. They have emotion. Man has motion. The woman has emotion. And that works together. And this is the beauty of it. And again, as you have the feminine aspect, that's a beautiful thing. And then the masculine aspect, it's a beautiful thing. You know why? Because God made it that way. And so again, the two being brought together, melded together. And here, notice what it goes on to say. Then it really strikes me when it says, again, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together of the grace of life. What God has done to save our souls, we enjoy that. She and I enjoyed it together. Because it says here very clearly, being heirs together of the grace of God. Together, we're doing things for the Lord. You know, I think, as I think of this, because it goes on to say that your prayers be not hindered. A husband and wife need to be unified in the things of the Lord. And they need to be unified together, first of all, and in the Lord, and go forth with that and to pray together for their family, their children, their nation, to pray and to look to the Lord. These are all aspects of life that we have together. And you know, a girl came to me not long ago at church. She came up to me and she said, you know, my husband and I have been talking. She's young, a young woman, just married maybe about 4 or 5 years. And she comes up to me and says, yeah, she says, you know, when we get to heaven, she said, we were wondering about, are we going to be together? Are we going to know? What is, you know, the situation in heaven? She said, because, you know, my husband and I, we love each other and we want to be together. And what about heaven? I said, let me tell you something. I said, when I go to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord that because we're heirs together, there's things that we do together we didn't do apart, and the things we did together as unto the Lord and for the Lord. And one day, I believe we will stand before the Lord and we will be standing before the Lord together to be judged as to our lives together that counted for him in this life. Or maybe didn't count as it should have in this life. But I told that girl, I said, I'm going to ask the Lord if I could hold my wife's hand while we stand before him in judgment. As he deals with us together. Not apart. Once you're together, you guys are accountable together as well as individually. And that dear girl walked away with tears streaming down her face. I said, we'll know one another in heaven. If you don't know one another in heaven, then this life has no meaning whatsoever. If you don't know, if you don't remember, you will know as we're known, we will see, we will understand beyond our comprehension, and we're looking to that day. But the aspect that I'm dealing with is that it's husband and wife together serving and honoring the Lord, which counts. And so young people, if you're going to get married, think of it in terms of that one that you're marrying must and should be a Christian. And being a Christian, that you seek together, that you commit yourselves to Christ, and that as you commit yourselves together, that that togetherness is going to be where you're going to stand before the Lord one day, I believe, together, and will be accountable before God. I believe in glory we will fellowship one with the other as well as Almighty God. We will remember our lives here, and by the sanctifying grace of our God, we will rejoice together in heaven's glory. And I believe we will have memory, and I believe we will remember, sanctified remembrance of the things that happened in our lives, of the joys that we had, even of the sorrows that brought us to the point where, again, we gave glory to God in our lives. Brethren, love one another. Love your children. Love your family. Love God Almighty, and especially this morning, love your spouse. Have a closing thought or two. You know, I've wondered, when I think back, and I thought, you know, what does God require in the sense that here's a husband and a wife, and here's their children. I've come to this thought and conclusion from the Word of God. Now, a husband and a wife teach their children more than they understand. They teach their children more than they understand. I believe without a doubt that children look at parents and they see how they connect. Or wherever there is a disconnect, wherever there's a chord, and wherever there's discord. And the children are there, and they see it all. They hear the words. They hear the feelings. They hear the emotion. They see these things. And these children then begin to pick up on that which they're hearing and what they're seeing. And again, once again, if a wife does not reverence her husband, if a husband doesn't love his wife like he ought to love it, such a great way that it's even like Christ loving the church. Again, all of this is going on in the theater of the home. That's where the children are taught the lessons, again, of life in reality. And those children will go out. If you want children to be rebellious, what you do is you have a wife rebelling against her husband in front of the children, and the children all see that. They learn certain things. They get the impetus, and they get the attitudes and the actions, and you don't want them to have anything to know but this husband and this wife is together. They have pledged their love, which put them together in and before the congregations of the Lord. And they are children, again, of God. Therefore, they ought to live like the children of God. You know, as I think of my children, you know, my children love me. You know how I know it? And love my wife. They love me. They love my wife. Totally. Love me. My grandchildren love me. My great-grandchildren are starting to learn about me. And you know they're going to learn to love me. You want to know why? My children love me. My grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, you want to know why they love me? Because they saw the love, first of all, between Gerda and I. We saw it between us. And then the children saw that love. And it goes down the line that, again, what they see is what they love. And so it is imperative that we as those who have children and grandchildren, all to be such a life that they love you and they want to be with you. They want to share with you. Why? They've seen it. They feel it. They know it. It's there. And that is the key. And so I say this. Love is an act of your will. Will it, my friend. Place it there before God, and that I'm going to love my spouse. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to love my grandchildren. I'm going to love my great-grandchildren. And my great-great-grandchildren, by the love of those who go yet before me. God bless us this day. It's all about the love of God that has brought us to where, again, we stand before the Lord, sending his Son that he died, that we might live, that we might have life, and that we might understand and comprehend, and through the graces of that love, not only to love God, but to love one another and to love our spouses. This is the key that is in life, and it's all of God's will. It's all about your will and your love. Your will to love God, will to love your spouse, will to love your children. Love this day. Not just some ethereal nonsense, but a reality where we again know that love of God. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know his love. You haven't participated. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God sent to be a propitiation for our sins, you believe in him, you have eternal life. And it's wonderful to walk with God, to walk with your spouse, to walk with your children, to walk together as a church family, to support one another in that love, and to love them, to love that one that comes through the door, so that they might know the love of God is here. You're going to have to place your love. It's going to be your will to love the unlovely, for God loved the unlovely first of all, but so he loved. God's grace be upon you. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again that thy love has come to us because of thy will and thy mercy that followed that love, and that grace that followed that mercy. And so, Lord, grant us thy grace that we might love thee, our neighbor, our spouses, our families, that we might in that love rejoice again, to have a beauty greater than flowers, sweeter than candy, knowing the Lord. Praying in Jesus' name, amen.
Turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 352, A Child of the King. thank you for the love that you have willed upon us, Lord, that has been placed upon us, and nothing can ever take that out of us. We pray that you would dismiss us with that blessing and help us to live even this week in a way that would show others that we are your children, that you have placed your love upon us, and that we would share your love with them. In Christ's name, amen.